Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. I'm your host, Scott Wiley. The Wisdom Journey will take you through the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 10-minute episodes over 3 years. This is episode 20, a lesson entitled, The Birth of Isaac. Today, Stephen is in Genesis 20 through 21. It's comforting to know that through all our failures and faithlessness, God never changes. His promises will never be broken. For Abraham, the birth of Isaac was proof of that. Let's learn what that means for us today.
Did you know that GPS systems have to be recalibrated every decade or so? Well, that's because the Earth's crust is actually moving. And without GPS recalibration, you wouldn't make it to the right address, and your packages would be delivered to your neighbor's house. That reminds me that we need to periodically recalibrate our lives according to God's unchanging word. Although the world around us is shifting and changing, God's promises never do. Now, sometimes it seems like people are going to keep God's promises from coming true. In fact, here in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham's lack of faith looks like it's going to derail God's promise of a son through his wife, Sarah. Abraham and Sarah have been waiting on that promise now for decades. In fact, verse 1 says here, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. Now, once again, here in verse 2, Abraham tells the lie that Sarah is his sister in order to save his skin from the Philistine king Abimelech. He's afraid the king is going to kill him to get his beautiful wife. So Abraham pulls the same stunt he did earlier in Egypt. In fact, for the very same reason. Now, maybe the first time Abraham did this back in Egypt was understandable. He's fairly new to walking by faith. But he knows better now. This is 25 years later. God has spoken directly to him in many ways since then, promising him Sarah is going to have this promised son, and from that promised son will come a nation, and from that nation will come the Savior who will redeem mankind. Now, in one sense, Sarah is Abraham's sister. In fact, here in verse 12, Abraham reveals that Sarah is his half-sister. They have the same father, but different mothers. And as we've already explained, before the law of Moses was given, this was not forbidden as it is today in order to protect us from a myriad of physical problems that now occur in the offspring when close family members marry. But Abraham is hiding behind this half-truth, isn't he? The truth is, he's afraid. He's not very confident that God's word is going to come true. Now, maybe you can point to times in your own life when your faith was strong in God's promises and other times when you felt weak and faithless. Well, let me encourage you here that God's promises to Abraham are not dependent on how strong Abraham is, but on how strong God is. Even your failures cannot derail the promises of God. Now, here in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 2, we're told, Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Yep, he's going to add her to his harem after all. Now, to his credit, he doesn't know she's married to Abraham. But here in verse 3, God comes to Abimelech in a dream and says, You are a dead man, because the woman whom you've taken, she's another man's wife. Verse 4 tells us that he hadn't touched her yet. So God tells him here in verse 6, It was I who kept you from sinning against me, therefore I did not let you touch her. So God tells Abimelech in a dream to give Sarah back to Abraham. Abraham then acts the role of a prophet of God, and he prays for Abimelech here in verse 17. You see, God is guarding Abraham and Sarah from any retaliation from this very angry king. Isn't it wonderful that the promises of God don't depend on your faithfulness, but His? Yes, your sin and mine, our selfishness, have consequences, and we may have to live with them. But God isn't up in heaven wringing His hands, hoping that you don't mess up His plans. My friend, even your sin is not greater than God's power and mercy and grace. Well, let me show you that God's promises can't be stopped by Sarah's jealousy now. Here in Genesis chapter 21, we begin in the delivery room when God's promise is fulfilled. 90-year-old Sarah delivers a baby boy. That means 100-year-old Abraham is out there in the waiting room dancing around with joy. They finally have their promised son, and Abraham names him Isaac. Now, at this time, Ishmael is right around 15 years old. You remember he's the offspring of Abraham and Sarah's handmaiden, whom Sarah had arranged in her own unbelief to bear a child for Abraham. Now, frankly, you can sympathize with Ishmael here. He's no longer the heir of Abraham's fortune. He's not part of the covenant promise of this Hebrew nation. And his resentment and his unbelief is now beginning to show. How do we know that? Well, we're told here in verse 9 that Sarah sees him mocking Isaac. She demands that Abraham exile Hagar and get rid of Ishmael once and for all. Abraham is understandably torn by Sarah's sinful attitude. Frankly, she isn't right here either. The Lord comes along then in verse 12 and says this to Abraham. Whatever Sarah tells you to do, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of Hagar also, because he is your offspring. You notice how gracious the Lord is here to Ishmael? He's Abraham's son too, and he will be blessed to father a nation. Now, even though Isaac is the heir of the covenant promise, God has a plan for both Isaac and Ishmael. You know, it's easy to overlook the fact that neither of these boys had any say in the circumstances into which they were born. But they do have a say how they will respond to God as they grow older. And we're going to learn that Ishmael will neglect the God of Abraham and Isaac. He's going to choose to follow his own God. Now, Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away into the wilderness with the Lord's promise that he'll take care of them. It isn't long before Hagar runs out of water, and here in the wilderness of Beersheba, she begins to weep. Frankly, it's a touching scene of despair. God arrives here in verse 19 and miraculously opens Hagar's eyes, and she sees a well of water, and she and her son are saved from certain death. Chapter 21 goes on to tell us that Ishmael grows up, marries a woman from Egypt, begins a family that will eventually become the Arab nation. God's promises to him will come true as well. I frankly can't help but feel for Hagar and Ishmael here in this wilderness. This is a terribly lonely place. Makes me wonder, maybe you're suffering right now in your own version of the wilderness, and maybe you're wondering about God's promises of caring for you and guiding you. Maybe the winds of doubt have blown the sands of despair into your eyes, and you can't see the way forward. Well, this is a wonderful place to be reminded of the promises of God, that mistreatment, hopelessness, sinful people, maybe our own sinful failures, cannot prevent the promises of God from being fulfilled. Now, at this point here in chapter 21, King Abimelech comes to Abraham and negotiates a peace treaty between the nation of Abraham and his nation. This peace treaty is ratified by Abimelech. It gives Abraham a well of water, and Abraham gives back to Abimelech seven lambs as a witness or proof of Abraham's ownership of this well. Now, don't miss this significant moment. Abraham now owns a well and a plot of land. This is the first piece of real estate he owns here in the promised land. The land God is promising to Abraham and his descendants as an eternal inheritance. So Abraham here plants a tree by this well and holds a worship service in honor of the everlasting God. And with that, Abraham is now moving forward again in faith, just as you and I can, even after failure. It isn't because we're without sin or because we're always faithful that we can move forward. No, we're moving forward as we trust the Word of God, as we experience the forgiveness of God. God's promises aren't changing. Even though the very crust of the earth cannot stop moving and shifting, we're trusting in the Rock of Ages and His unchanging, faithful Word. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We'll continue traveling through the Bible next time. To learn more about our ministry, visit wisdomonline.org. If you're enjoying the Wisdom Journey so far, there's a way that you can help us. If you rate and review the Wisdom Journey on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, that puts us higher in the ranking and allows more people to find us. Please do that today. Then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.